Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today is Nico, so I'd like to welcome him and his Mac to the show.
Channel 9 Mac.
Channel 9 Mac. McNine.
McNine.
McNine. So Nico, we've had you on here before, so take a second to introduce yourself.
My name is Nico. I am a data platform MVP. I work for a company which is called OH22, and we do a lot of awesome stuff for Microsoft Data Platform.
That's awesome. You're going to make me cry. All right. So...
Keep it professional.
So you were here last week for SQL Pass, and you're here next week for MVP Summit. Awesome. Love our MVPs. All right. So you are here today to talk about what? It's an exciting announcement, actually.
So there is something that I'm working on and publishing as a free and open source library for over 14 months, which is called CISL. It's not like CSI, it's just CISL. The CISL stands for Column Store Indexes Scripts Library. Mm-hmm. It's let's say, I pretend at least, it is a professional library for working with one of the most amazing feature of Microsoft Data Platform and SQL Server. It is column store indexing.
And so you're here today to show us your library and give us kind of an introduction about, or talk about the column store indexes.
Exactly.
All right, let's go. Let's jump right in.
Yeah. All right, so welcome to the presentation of the CISL, and thank you, Scott, for hosting me here. And so,
Are you kidding? It's your Nico.
Exactly, that's scary right. Stuff.
I should be. Oh. Okay.
All right, so I have a couple of slides that I want you to show, to introduce you, and to make sure that you like a little understand a little bit of what I'm talking about. So. What are the column store indexes? Just to make sure that people understand what they are. Okay. Column store indexes were introduced in SQL Server 2012 as the data warehousing feature, the feature which massively accelerates the processing and analysis on the information.
Okay.
So the properties of the column store indexes is that they are different to all the traditional type of storage that was used for them. And so as you see on the picture, it just basically show you a table with six different columns, C1, C2, C3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yep.
And you can see basically they're separated vertically because that's how they are stored internally.
Okay.
And the other property of the column store index is that they're also have a kind of a row grouping, so a kind of a partitioning. They are thought and designed for processing massive amounts of data. You could even call it big data.
Big data. Yeah, we like big data, and we cannot lie.
Nobody can deny.
Nobody can deny, that's right.
And so every million rows, you can potentially have a group of these values, grouped together for better, faster processing, because they have a query optimizer, a special mode which is called a batch execution mode, and no marketing here, it just makes amazingly faster your workloads.
Sweet, awesome.
All right, so this is how they are created. They are extremely compressed, and once again, if you have 20 rows in a table, well, column store indexes most probably are not for you. Okay. All right? So as a basic...
Well, that's a good question, then. I apologize for interrupting.
Yeah.
At what point do we say, does column store indexes really add value for the amount of data? Mm-hmm. I mean, 20 rows, no. But when we hit a million or 500,000 or...
So they were designed originally for the fact tables, for the data warehousing in 2012. That was 4 years ago, incredible amount of time. And the column store team and the query processing team, they did an amazing job with every version. And right now, in 2016, in Azure SQL Database, you can put the column store indexes even on OLTP systems, which is what is currently modernly called as HTAP, what is hybrid transactional analytic processing.
Okay.
So if you have more than 100,000 rows in a table, you might consider for some of the cases put the column store indexes. Okay. But where they truly shine is when you go into million and especially into the billion of rows.
Okay.
Their compression is, if you're using the page compression, the best traditional compression, it's okay if you compress it twice or three times better.
Wow, okay, cool.
Really impressive.
Yeah.
So traditional index, the row store index is on the left side. You would store the values from a table from each of the four columns, the ID, the first name, the last name, and the salary all together. So like 1, Jody Phillips, 4304. And then you would store the values from the second row. For the column store indexes, you do not do that. You store values from each row separately.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's really amazing because in this way, you have a fixed data type. And since the values are very common, you can compress them much better. So take a look, as example, the population of the United States. Mm. How big is it?
Oh, good question. Billions?
No, 250 millions?
Oh, I have no
idea. 300 millions. Let's take 300 millions. And how many different last names would you have in your country?
Oh, probably just as many. I mean,
last names?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's say. Okay, so let's say you.
Let's say 300 million, let's say, out of that, let's say.
60,000.
Oh, 100,000 last names.
100,000 last
or
names.
Or more, at least.
Well, right. Because there are a lot of, Klein is a very popular name all around the world.
Yes, because we're famous. We're popular.
And so you will basically, you just have to store 100,000 unique values, mm-hmm. 300 million times. So you can store, no matter how big the last name is, mm-hmm. you can store just a little number from 1 to 100,000.
Ah, right. Okay.
So this is called dictionary compression, mm-hmm. and it allows really like, so 100,000, you need how many bytes? Officially, you would need what?
Yeah.
Like 4 bytes maybe,
yeah.
But the design of the column store indexes allows you to maybe go to 2.5 bytes in right. the reality and just pick away in the exact number. So no matter how long the last names are, you will need 300 million times 2.5 to store all the last name.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible compression.
Okay.
Can't do this.
Because the same data type, things like that.
Same data types. And in your family, your kids have the same last name.
Yeah.
So you store the same value. You don't have to store all the long last name, like in my case.
Right. Well, that makes sense. Okay.
All right. So another visual example of how it looks like. So row store, the traditional storage, the column store, the modern, the modern storage, I would really argue. So the thing is, as I mentioned before, when you have a big table, and let's say in our case it's 4 million rows, it once you create the column store index on this table, it will be separated and like in the best case, you will have like 4 row groups with 1 million rows, right? Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. And then you will separate every column separately, and the values for 1 row group for a particular column, they are called a segment.
Okay.
So we have 4 row groups still, and we have a segment. So for every column, we have 4 segments. With 4 row groups, we have 16 segments.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Simple math.
That's what we do. All right. And so the advantage for the column store indexes, and you don't have to do anything about this. So if you take a look, detailed look on the query, you will see that what am I trying to do this? I'm trying to calculate a sum on C2 and C3 from my Fact Online sales table from Contoso Retail Data Warehouse free database from Microsoft, my favorite database of all time. And I'm just putting a little aggregate. I'm just looking for the values between 10 and 20.
Okay. Yep.
Do we need a C1? Values from the column C1?
Nope.
Do we need from C2?
Yes.
What about C3?
Yes.
And what about C4?
No. because you're only summing C2 and C3 columns.
Right. And so the query optimizer is absolutely smart. It will go just like, oh, ho, ho, hold your horses. C1 is not needed. And because it's separated mm-hmm. from other columns, it will not touch it.
Ah, okay.
So half of the I/O, half of the access to the memory, to the column store object where these segments are stored, or to the disk, avoid it. Automagically.
Okay.
And
so it makes things much faster.
Much faster. And if you are, if you look that most of the data types, and they're documented, which are supporting, so for every million values, mm-hmm. the minimum and the maximum values of the column are stored inside the segment. So I can have there, as you can see on the example, for the first row group, I'm storing around 1 million values between okay. 1 and 9. There are huge hundreds, thousands of repetitions
yep.
for some of them, but they are going this way.
Yep.
And if you can see from 1 to 9, from 10 to 20, from 15 to 30, and from 31 to 45. Wait a second, there is a huge overlapping between these two segments,
right.
Between the row group 2 and the row group 3, right? So 15 should be here. This happens because column store indexes are built with such a technology that they're not sorted, not ordered, at
okay.
least for now,
mm-hmm.
for the three versions of the column store okay. we have had
right.
so far. But let's run the query and see, do we need the first segment? Do we need the
no.
first row group?
Nope.
Why?
Because it's...
It doesn't contain the values between 10 and 20, right?
Yep.
What about the second segment?
Yes.
Third? Potentially.
Potentially. And
yeah.
the fourth one.
And the fourth one not. And because if you eliminate one segment, you eliminate the whole row group as well.
Yep.
And what happens? I eliminated the C3 segment as well. Because if C2 says, on this horizontal line, nothing fits, all other go away.
Right.
And before we start processing the data, basically we will get just 75% of the data eliminated. We don't have to touch it.
Right. Okay.
Really amazing. Mm. Amazing.
Okay.
Goes blazingly fast. All right?
Yep.
And so I'm giving you this the basics of the column store so you understand the things that I was showing about my library.
Okay.
So the architecture, it's really needed because it's a kind of a deep dive library. You have these row groups, as you can see. This is a picture for the clustered column store, updatable clustered column store on 2014.
Yeah.
So you have the row groups where these are, the row groups are these row groups,
yep.
the horizontal row.
Groups, yep.
Yeah, and these vertical bars, which looks like an equalizer on the on the music, these are the different columns because they are compressed with the different types of success. They will have the different size.
Yep. Okay.
Exactly. And so this is where you saw the information.
Yep.
Deleted bitmap is basically where you mark the row if it's active or not. In column store indexes, you do not delete the row from the row group.
Right. Okay.
You just mark it as deleted here in this structure.
Gotcha.
And all new information comes into these B-tree delta stores, right? So traditional row storage, mm-hmm. like a landing zone where you put the data.
Yeah.
This was 2014. In 2016, I have to say, I bow down. You can show me really bowing down. Column store team did an incredible job. Really incredible. They expanded the architecture. They right now allow this HTAP, mm-hmm. HTAP scenario,
yep.
hybrid transactional analytical processing. And they created updatable non-clustered column store. And for the in-memory fans, you can build a column store index on in-memory tables. Amazing.
Sweet. Yeah, amazing.
Really.
Yeah, love it.
So I just want to scare the people off a little bit. And I just so the architecture has changed and you have a lot of more elements for the cluster at column store in 2016. And in Azure SQL database for non-clustered column store, there are new elements like mapping index,
yeah.
deleted buffer, and so on. And there is a deleted roles table for the in-memory. You know what? Do you want to learn it all, or do you want to, you know?
Or is there a library? Is there a library that might be able to help us with that?
Yeah, that's a tough question. Well, breaking news, there is, and I'm going to show it to you in a second. So I will switch, shut down my presentation. I want to save it, and I want to show you just the website of. This is the GitHub. So where would you store an open source free project? On GitHub or maybe on GitHub?
I would pick GitHub.
That's a good choice. You went for the third option, sir. Congratulations.
Store number three.
Yes. So as you can see, this is an open source project which I'm publishing, and I'm absolutely happy to welcome anyone to contribute, to use, to criticize, because I want people to, you know, to make the best of their time, to do their job fast, go home and enjoy, have a, you know, great life as they deserve. So I published for Azure SQL Database for 2012, 2014, and 16 the version of this library. So in each part, in each version, I will go actually into the Azure SQL DB version, it makes more sense, you will find a number of scripts. Each of the scripts does something which I will explain in a minute.
Okay.
And you have the version of a simple script that you can take and run against your database directly. Uh-huh. Or you have a stored prox where you can folder. Well, you can find a version of the same script which you can install as a store procedure in your database.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So let's say here you can see all of the different scripts. Like you see the alignment of the columns, you can see the dictionaries, you can see the fragmentation where, you know, you mark the data as deleted, how much data delete, maybe you need to do some maintenance.
Okay.
So I have the maintenance function, which is absolutely essential for the column stores. And I have CStore installed all store procs, which is containing all those scripts. And if you just like, I want to use the CISL on my database, you don't have to pick them one after another. You run this store procedure, it will do all the installation
right.
for you.
Very cool.
The other thing I will mention, I will not show it today, but you have the extended event setup. All individual grouped, they will target the ring buffer with just by default 50 megabytes. So if you want to do the deeper analysis or understanding your situation, your data warehousing, your analytical processing, right. you can use the extended events. You don't have to look the documentation for the extended events. You can run them by default and start from there.
Right.
All right?
Okay, cool.
Let's take a look at the scripts for real. All right. So I will show you the first one. So once I started building the library, I wanted to make sure that the people are running the latest and the greatest version of the SQL Server.
Okay.
And so how do you know which version the client is running? How many patches they have installed? Which information Microsoft has already published that is saying, you know what, there are bugs in the current version? Like, I know that to all the viewers of this amazing show, they have never bugs in their software. To me, it happens all the time. And to the rest of the world, I guess, it also. So there is
just us that we're implementing bugs, yes.
It's just Microsoft does a great job of publishing this information in cumulative updates and the service packs. And so I go every month, I find this information, and I insert it into my scripts.
So, sweet, okay.
So if I will run against my database, let's see. I will run the, I have already pre-installed all the CISL store procedures, but once again, you can run them as a script without any installation. I will automatically see which version. So I'm running I was not a very good kid. I didn't install the latest and the greatest update. I'm running cumulative update 1 for SQL Server 2016. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, there is a cumulative update 2. Mm-hmm. And there is even an additional bug fix, you know, emergency that Microsoft has published.
Okay.
I can see, and I can show to my boss or to my client, like, you know, your version is 102 days old. Well, there must be some updates. And I can see even all the builds and all the problems that Microsoft has already found and fixed for you. You just need to install the cumulative update. So if you're facing an issue, you don't have to search in the document. You just can go like, what is my version? How old it is? Are there new versions? Can you tell me this?
Very nice.
Another feature is I will identify all the documented, and sometimes not that much documented, trace flags, and I will provide you with the information of the description, where you can find more information. For this 9358, as I showed at the past summit, documented, supported, and I just show this is a supported trace flag, which allows you to enable some additional functionality. So it's very nice to run this when you arrive in, on a new server, what it is.
Yep.
How many fixes? Am I potentially you know, facing some issues that I didn't know about? Run the CISO.
Okay, cool.
Get store info. And so I can even go and say, show me the newest versions. And it will show me available new versions. So there is a CU2, and there is, from the last week, even on-demand fix for CU2.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. And if I go and enable some additional trace flag, I can simply see that this trace flag is known, and it will display the information where you can find more in the Microsoft documents. So this is the get SQL info file. Another one very useful is get suggested tables.
Mm-hmm.
So once you are moving to the column store indexes, how will you identify which are the good candidates?
Which tables would make a good candidate for putting the column store index on?
Exactly. Yeah. So okay. I can run the suggested tables, and it will automatically, with some defaults for my test database, will say, you know what, you can create the non-clustered column store on these four tables immediately. It will calculate, you know, you have 8, 7, 3, and 2.7, in this case, million rows. How many row groups will you be needing for that?
Are row groups 1 million rows by default? Can you change that?
You can't. The engine can change it for you, making them smaller under some conditions, like memory pressure or dictionary pressure. But you have no control right now.
Okay, but by default they're 1 million.
Yeah, this is what you can if you take a look at them, if they are 1 million row, you're fine.
Okay.
All right. So you can see the size. You can see all the features that are compatible or not compatible, like XML, LOBs, primary keys, foreign keys, and depending on the version, it will give you correct information, like what is supported, what is not supported. And I can change the criteria. So every function, every script has a lot of parameters, which are all documented. And I can say, you know what, a table should have at least 5 million rows for a table to be considered. And you see, I've got not four, but just two tables.
Okay.
Because 3 something and 2.7 million rows will not fit. And just like, you can use the size and so on and so forth. For the tables which have some unsupported features, like columns, like CLR, you can use the show unsupported column details parameters. Mm-hmm. And I'm filtering by the table name.
Okay.
I'm saying that the minimum number of rows, even 500, you shouldn't be doing this in production, of course. And I'm say show unsupported column details, and I immediately can see, you know, this dim geography is using data type geometry, which is a CLR, and is not yet supported for the column store indexes.
So that's basically saying you can't put
I can't put it.
Column store index
and I can see what are the reasons why I can't put it. Okay, so it's very, very useful. And I can even generate the script T-SQL. It's still called beta because I'm still working on improvement, which will basically, you know, just to serve you, drop the blockers and create the column store index of the type you want. So for the demo, for the development, very good start. You can take the script, copy, paste, execute, and you will, It has still some bugs, still in the better version, but it will bring you closer to creating column store.
Yep. Okay. Help you understand column store better, where it will fit within your database.
No, it will basically generate your script, drop all the blockers, in order to get to the column store.
Okay.
Okay, this is the another script. You can also go and run the cstore get row groups function. It will show you the tables that have already have the column store index. Mm-hmm. So in my case, I converted fact online sales to column store on this 2016 server. Mm-hmm. And I can show you that it's a clustered column store. It's a table because you, on 2016, you can build it on the indexed views.
Yep.
On the indexed views.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
It's a table or indexed view. Mm-hmm. It's disk-based or, as you said, in memory, where okay. It is located. If it's partitioned, how many partitions, what is the compression type, and it will show you all the details that you would otherwise have to run huge number of DMVs to discover.
Okay.
Okay? So you can see how many rows are active, how many are not. So in my case, 12.6, no deleted rows. So every row is marked as active. But if I go and I will, you know, in order to make this demo work even faster, I will delete 1,000 rows very fast. Column stores are truly amazing. And I can see that here, because I show in the millions, I have deleted exactly 1,000 rows.
Okay, yep.
And so active rows are not equal to the total rows. Because it's the number is smaller, it's just minus 1,000 rows. So I can see like, oh, I've got so many deleted rows. I need to rebuild my table or reorganize in 2016 to remove this logical fragmentation.
Okay. Yep.
Very, very useful. And so just basically, I will drop the scripts for the Channel 9 show or on my blog. We can see what would be the best place. You can play with these demos and see how it fits. So if you are interested, like, okay, so I've got, if I run get row groups function, how many row groups have I got? It shows me I've got 13 total row groups. Okay. And all of them are compressed. Okay. You can say, well, come on, show me the money, show me the, you know, how big they are. I want to make sure that they are, you know, well compressed. I can use the details function. And here we go. As you asked, Scott.
I did ask that. Yes, I did.
So you can see all the row groups with their IDs. And you can see the total number of rows and how many rows are deleted within row groups. Maybe which row group needs to be maintained, updated. Okay, so we can see that we've got 1,048,576 rows. This is the perfect number for the column store, for a row group. Yep. And since my VM has got 4 cores, the restant rows that were like spread around 800,000, beautiful, worked perfect.
Okay,
so you can run, you can go and analyze, say, show me the row groups which are not perfect.
Okay.
Trimmed row groups. And it will show you them. These are not 1,000,000 rows. Okay.
Right,
and you can analyze. And in 2016, you can see, okay, this is a residual row group from the index build means you didn't have enough rows. That was the reason. And Query Optimizer just spread all these 3.2 million rows between 4 row groups, making around 800,000 rows per row group.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And there are other parameters. You can say, well, do I have a delta store? Show it to me. I have none. And I can go and say, you know, I can filter them on the size and so on and so forth. Very good for development and maintenance. The other thing I've shown you is the segment elimination, right?
Oh, yep.
This little presentation. So. See, I told you before that they are not ordered, and we want them maybe to align on one particular column. This is also a recommendation from Microsoft. So you can use this get alignment function to see what is the alignment between the segments. What is the percentage of alignments? Is it okay, or maybe you need to use, there is a technique, which my library supports, to align them in a perfect order so they can get the best segment elimination.
What's good? Is the lower number better, or is the higher number better?
For the alignment, you would like to have 100%, of course.
100% alignment, okay.
Because it means that you have like 1 to 9, 10 to 19, 20 to 29.
Oh, like you saw that slide. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
So no overlapping.
This one, so for the column online sales key, I have segment alignment of 769, means from the 13 row groups, segments, I have 12 which are overlapping. Only one is not overlapping.
Wow, okay.
So I can rebuild with the technique, or I can ask the library, do maintenance function, to rebuild it and force the ordering on this column. Okay. And it will greatly improve the performance.
Okay.
And I can, you know, I can filter on the table, I can filter, for example, on the column name, I can filter on the ID, like a lot of parameters. Okay. We can also see the fragmentation. Fragmentation is when we delete some of the data. Mm-hmm. So in my case, I have a 0.01% of fragmentation. Why? I mean, like nothing in a sense, because I just deleted 1,000 rows.
Yeah.
If I would go and in my previous function, where it was, and I will say, you know what? Let's delete a huge amount of rows. In my case, right now, I'm deleting 1,000,000 rows, right? From my fact online sales table.
Okay.
So my fragmentation will not be 0.1, because I'm deleting what? I'm around 10%, maybe something like this. So let's take a look. Well, I have 962% fragmentation. And there is a row group which is has no active values. It's completely useless.
Yeah, okay.
In 2016, you can run Ultra Index Reorganize to solve this on Azure SQL DB as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you have like, you can see even average number of rows, how many row groups are trimmed, their percentage, all the statistics. And so this function will help you to write your own script if you want to do the maintenance of the column store. All right, so it was number 7. Number 8, I will not dive into it. Basically, for compression, there are dictionaries, different types, you know, internal information, all supported and documented. There are special DMVs. It will help you to analyze this.
Okay.
For the geeks like me, that's how we're all.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
You can also analyze the memory. By using CStore get memory function, you can see, you know, which objects are in memory and which are not.
Yep.
There is, in 2016, Microsoft development team even created a special DMV for that.
Nice.
So I was, the original code was like using XML and XPath to extract this. Ooh. They, for 2016, they fixed it, built a good DMV that. All right. All right. And then the maintenance function. That I wanted to show to you. So I can execute the maintenance function once it is installed, and it will, I will say, execute log data and show the debug, and it will do everything that you need. It will take care. So there are like traditional row store indexes.
Mm-hmm.
You go like, if the, the traditional best practice, if your fragmentation is above 15%, what you do? You do Ultra Index Reorganize.
Right.
You reorganize the data pages, right? For the cases when your fragmentation goes over 30%, you rebuild the table, right?
Yep.
So the same numbers are applied for the do maintenance function, only it works with the internals of the column store and does it for you.
Do these scripts like implement the, you know, given like you had the script that says, hey, here's the tables we recommend, you put clustered. Do you have scripts in there that will implement the clustered column store index, or is this more maintenance? And
so do maintenance does maintenance, but suggested tables, it will, as I have shown, it will generate you script which will drop the blockers and create the clustered column store.
Okay, yep.
Or you can say, no, you can specify which type of the column store index you want to create.
Okay,
so if I run this function, it will take some time because the fragmentation was pretty high because I deleted 1,000,000 rows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it will basically will do the maintenance, and it will it shows me some of the you know, information, and hopefully you can see that I have no fragmentation anymore.
Wow, okay.
It will find your fragmentation.
Impressive.
So it's it will basically, you don't have to outsource your brain, but it will allow you to spend less time doing the, you know, internal maintenance and understanding of the column store indexes. It will allow you to focus on the more important things in life.
So this kind of obfuscates a lot of the
internal stuff.
Internal stuff, right? Just a higher level, you know, yeah. Okay, so I don't have to go dig through the DMVs to go, how do I get this information?
Right. Okay. You don't have to build your custom scripts. Right. So I decided to build this library because I was fighting with Okay, let's be honest. For the first time in my life, I was fighting with different scripts for different customers, creating different scripts. And I thought, like, well, you know, maybe I should create one script, and then, well, maybe more people benefit from that.
Yeah.
And I really. So I know that Microsoft Teams, and I know that even the Column Store Program Manager, at least one, admits of using this library, maybe for the demo purposes.
Yeah.
I would like to invite people to experiment it, and I believe it truly will help you to spend less time.
And this is very cool. So, and you and I were talking before, you've also have some demos that show how to work with this on the in-memory side, correct?
Yeah, so there is a library which is called MOSL, memory optimized script library, which does the similar thing, and I would like to record another podcast with you one day showing this
we
library.
Will definitely have you back. So this is very cool. So Nico and I have known each other for a very long time.
Way too much time.
I know he's been working way too long. And I know you've been working on it, but this is actually the first time I've got a deep dive. I even attended your session in
on Past Summit,
but this is actually you actually went deeper here.
Thank you.
Nico, it's been good to have you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to have you. And
have a good day.
We'll see you
soon.
Soon.
Ish.
All right. See you next time. Thanks, everybody.
See you. Bye.